Exodus chapter 15, and I'd like to introduce that to the church one of these days, and work it up as a congregational special that we can do from time to time, and I really enjoy doing that, and I pray the Lord will bless as well. A couple things we're going to be looking at today. We're going to finish up, Lord's willing, on the letter Kaf. And we're going to go right into the next one, which is Lamed. We're going to go to Psalms chapter 119, and let's get over there this morning, and let's go down to verse 81. Psalms 119, verse 81. I will tell you that whenever you take an opportunity to start looking at different passages, or you try to print out things, technology will let you down, and I don't care who knows it. It just seems like it's a challenge no matter how you look at it. And so today, as I was finishing up my stuff, and I thought, oh my goodness, I forgot to print out the next one, which is Lamed. And wouldn't you know it, the printer decided it was going to take a hiatus, and the computer didn't want to talk to the printer. Well, when the printer finally did print out, it printed out 20 copies of Lamed. So we got plenty of copies of Lamed in the back there, so if anybody wants a copy. But like I said, is that I bought a brand new computer this about 6 months ago. It's already died. I got to get it into, have it serviced, and thankfully it's still under warranty. We'll see how that all goes. But in the meantime, let's also think about how wonderful the Word of God is in its application. Look at verse 81, where you'll see the word calf, which is cough, which we have printed out. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bough in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? Will thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud that dig pits for me, which are not after thy law. All the commandments are faithful. They persuade me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we want to thank you for the blessings that you allow us to have as we study your word together. And I pray, Father, that as we do the things that you have for us to do, that we might be faithful, that we would walk in your faithfulness and in your truth, but Lord, that we would search out your truth so we might know it better. Thank you again, Father, for the opportunity to stand before the congregation, and I pray that you will just bless and guide and keep us today. So watch over us in all things. May we rejoice in you. In Christ we pray. Amen. One of the things that I want to bring out to you as we start today is do not think that because you follow the laws of God, that the laws of man are always going to be appreciative of the law of God. You know, there is, if you go into the Supreme Court building, you know, in Washington, D.C., they have the Ten Commandments on the wall. And I know that a lot of people say, well, but understand this, it's not called the Commandments of God. Commandments are something that are given for us to follow after, even when law. Now get this again. Commandments are something we need to follow after even when law fails. So when God says, thou shalt have no command from the highest authority even over this world. People want to chisel away the Ten Commandments. In fact, we are seeing a terrible execution of injustice where people are. And there's a reason they do that. If they can chisel, one of the things that you can actually put up a display, because people wanted to adhere to obey the things of God. But as you begin to see sin, if you go back, adherent studier of the war between the states, they will tell you that there's nothing that they can pinpoint to that said this was the cause of the Civil War. Mind you, there were those of the North that wanted to impose their rights over those on the South. And by the way, we're seeing the same thing today. We have so many people that are trying to impose law upon other people. Case in point, how many of you all agreed with Roe versus Wade when it first came out? But now that it has been chiseled away from our Constitution, people are saying is, well, we ought to... That's not the purpose of this. When people are saying is, well, I... But it does... constitutional law. When people go against the commandments of God, they will not come out. God's word stands alone. One of the things that I love about notice again, he says that now, one of the things that was not shown to us last week, or that I did not present, was that this is also like the throne of God. So you have the throne of glory, and we will see that a little bit more when we get into Lamed. And do you realize that every time we bow our knees and we're praying before God? But when we pray, anymore. The reality is that there is a physical strength, there's an emotional strength, and there's a spiritual strength. Satan, a lot of times, will attack us on all three levels, but primarily at the spiritual level. I wrote something in the bulletin today, and it's called "You Better Felt Alone," and you don't have to raise your hands. That's a rhetorical question. We feel alone for whatever stupid reason we feel alone. And again, this is the creation of man. And I want to show you just exactly what it speaks of when it comes to being alone. Now, we go on way down. We'll see here in verse 18. And it says, "And God and the Lord..." It doesn't say that man is lonely. There is a difference between the word lonely and
begin to feel lonely, I thought, how many of you have ever remembered what a lot said? That's what. And so, don't be mad at your husband if he loves your dog, loves the dog right away. Over everyone else in the house. You know, even though he loves you, wives, I want you to understand this, he loves his animals. And the reality is that God brought in verse 20, and God, male, chickens, male, female, and on down the line. And so God said, I'm going to make you. Approached first because I believe he can get anywhere with Adam. So he approached Eve. And so the Lord God. Why is that? Because Satan attacked us on the very end of emotion, of emotional, spiritual, and physical applications. Now I want you to get that. If you ever feel he doesn't care. He doesn't care. Oh, nobody cares for you. No one really likes you. I think you know that fact. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Well, there's a truth to that. But God did not leave us without the physical care of brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's where the emotional is supposed to be attached as well. Now, going on down to verse 83. For yet, how many of you and the reason that I say that is because people, Darren, one of these days you're going to get into the workforce and, I mean, the buck stops here. You might as well get a shirt that says that. And reality, he said, did you? know that sounds crazy, but that seems to be what people want in this world. Blame somebody. I look at my children and the many mistakes that my children have made, and I blame them. It's not my fault. Reality is, they made the decision, and I may try to carry their blame. It doesn't help it. And anybody that knows me true knows that that is something that is very difficult for me to let go of. So when I'm thinking of the spiritual. But here's the problem. I come to put So when you come before the throne of God, handsome young man. He really is a handsome young man. And they had a dance, and he went in and he asked a couple girls if they'd like to dance with him, and they made fun of him, and he was devastated. I told him, I said, don't be. I said, do you really like those girls? No. Then why are you bothered? The reason that he's bothered is because they rejected him. But remember this, the world rejected Jesus. And if you hold a standard that's above everybody else, the world will reject you. If you want to be honest and holy, the world will reject you. And notice what it says in verse 85. The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. You know, I wrote down in my notes that when the Pharisees watched the disciples of Jesus, and they walked through the hayfield, and they took up the corn that was left over, and they began to eat it. The Pharisees began to ridicule the Lord because they did not wash their hands. Not because they ate, but because they didn't wash their hands. And yet, nowhere in God's Word does it say, wash your hands before you eat. Now, that's a personal goal. That's something we want to have hygiene. We want to have things right. But these men were hungry, and they just went through the field and they grabbed it. Anyone ever grab a tomato off the vine and eat it? I remember this, is that we were out one time, and we had some people that came over to help, and you know, we were kind of digging up a few leftover potatoes that might have been left behind, and a guy carried a salt shaker with him. I thought that was so strange. And a little bit later, he picked up a small potato and he put a little salt on it and just chewed it right up, that raw potato. The reason that he did it is because he was anticipating the goodness of it. But his hands were dirty. I mean, you don't dig around in the dirt unless your hands get dirty. And yet, he cleaned off that potato the best he could and sprinkled the salt on it and ate it down. I'll do the same thing with tomatoes. I've done it with green beans. I've done it with summer peas. But the reality is that people can create laws that don't make any sense. I'll give you the latest one. It's called COVID. How many of you all know every flu is called a COVID? How many of you knew that? Every flu is called a COVID. And the reality is that this one was COVID-19, and they said, we don't know anything about it. It was German. Is this not a test on God's people to see just how far that they will depend upon the Lord. And do you realize what? You cannot fellowship or assemble together. How many of y'all remember that? I know one church that the pastor wrote the governor to you have never. How many of y'all forsake the assembly of ourselves together. Number one, we need each other. We're not to be alone. I'm so their physical condition. I understand that. But the reality is that should be of God. There was a man many, many years ago, probably around 1850, somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't remember the name of the man. I only remember the situation. And he would go. And one day he got up on a big stage, and the house was full of people listening to him. And he put on his show. Stand up for Jesus. Next thing you know, someone else stood up with her and went, "Ye soldiers of..." That's what we need. People and be able to stand equivocally. It is said of that same man that he got so mad at God that his daughter had become deathly ill, and he ran off suddenly and said, "Come!" And by nightfall, he had died. We don't want God's best shot. We don't want to defy God. The reality is that in verse 86 it says, "All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me." Also he says, "They that had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep thy testimonies of thy mouth." Here's an interesting word. The word quicken is a lot of times used in Scripture, and we don't use that word nowadays because we don't really understand it. I want to show this to you where I'm coming from. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. And in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, we see that same word that's being used. Let me get over here. There we go. Ephesians chapter 2. And notice again, verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 2. "Even when we were dead in sins, hath God quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." The first application that we find is we have been quickened or connected. Good. But when we in Christ. That too is an aspect of quickening. If I am quickened, you know, it's interesting that a lot of times people say, "I now know." Listen intently to what was being said. You are not alone. We are going together before the throne of God. When you hear someone say, "Well, that..." Join to that you can grow there. Well, when I get there, I'll find a church. How do you know the Lord is sending you if there's not a church of faithfulness there? Well, maybe I'll start one. Is that your intent? Now, mind you, I know it's a challenge for many of us that travel so far away, and I thank God that you're being faithful. Dennis called me this morning, and he said, "Mike, I just want you to know that we're going to be away, you know, and we're going to have to be up in the Columbus or something that was there." I said, "Dennis, I said, I trust you. But I am so glad you called me. I want you to know that I'm thinking about you too, and I love you, and even though he's my physical brother, he's more than that, he's my spiritual brother. And I get to have that relationship. He wanted to make sure that I knew what they were dealing with. I know I'm really amazed how much that Randy and Brenda can make it all the way from way over in West Virginia, closer to Charleston than here, and yet God has put upon their heart to be here. What I don't understand is when people can be just around the corner and they don't want to come to God's house. If you want to get things right in the sight of God, be in the house with God's people. And don't judge the people, but say, I love you and I'm glad you're here because this means everything to me. That's the beauty of it. And when Job prays the next time, we do. Now meddling. Quickened together into Christ Jesus. The next one that we have, and if you will, so Joe, go ahead and let's go over to Lamed. And it's actually, I love this. This is the tallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And when we take a look at Lamed, there are so many things that are there for us to enjoy. We're going to be looking at Psalms chapter 119, 89 through 96 for this one as well. But there's a couple of things I want you to see. Number one, it's the letter 12, meaning that it is in the very center of the Jewish alphabet. If you recall, see that lower U-looking thing that's like this? That shows that it's there. But it's also, at the very top, you see the letter Vav, V-A-V. And the application is that this is, once again, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in its rising. When we take a look at this, notice that it has the value and the place and the purpose to say, I am the most important of all. And this lets me know the things of the Lord our God. You see, I don't think that we have ever come to the place to where we enjoy the presence of God like we should. How many of you have ever prayed, and again, I'm not meddling, but just gone into the privacy of your chamber and prayed and felt the presence of God? There's nothing like it. How many of you have just literally fallen upon your face and say, Father, I don't have anything to say, but I just want to be with you? Well, that seems like sacrilege. Jesus said, be still and know that I am God. I remember my children were younger, they wanted to be with Dad. And sometimes, and if you have four boys, man, I'm telling you what, they all compete for Dad's attention. And I remember that my oldest son one day came to me and he said, Dad, would you help me with my science fair project? And he told me what he wanted to do. I said, that's pretty noble. I said, why don't you bring it down to just one particular area of science fair? And he actually took it to regional. He did very well with it. It was called Aerospace Wings. Later on, my son Jeremy came to me and said, Dad, you want to help me with my science fair project? I said, what are you interested in? He goes, in the environment. I said, okay. We did one on erosion. He didn't make it as far as Tony, but he made it pretty well. But my goal is this, is that every one of my children have shown to me that they want to be with me. If I'm a child of God, I should want to be with Him. Let that sink in a minute. If I'm a child of the King, I want to be like Him. Can you imagine? Have you ever thought about what it's going to be like when you die? Now, I'm not in a hurry to die. But what's it going to be like when I leave this life? I know that I will go before the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. There's a beautiful song by a group called Mercy Me. And in that song, they ask the question, what will it be like? Will I be on my face? Will I stand in your presence? Or at your feet will I fall? What's it going to be like? I can only imagine. I don't know what it's going to be like when I stand before the throne of God, but understand this. Here is the one that has given his entire life for me. I will see the nail-scarred prince when he says, come unto me. When he takes me and lifts me to my feet, he will go, son, I've waited for you. My son Timothy used to sing a song, When God Ran. Do you realize, and I've had so many people say, well, that sounds like sacrilege. I said, what happened with the case of the prodigal son? When the prodigal was a long way off, the father saw him and ran to him. Have you ever thought, and he was called the son. You know, one of the cases of real revival is when those that have left have come back and they'll say, I want to be in the presence of God. And when we come, we're not coming before the crucified one. We're coming before the King of Majesty. And when we come in, we're going to hear him say, I've got you. That's what Lamed is going to be all about. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, we got this picture that is here. You're welcome to pick it up. Lord's Word, we're going to pick up on Lamed next week, and we'll start there. Right now, let's go ahead and be dismissed in a word of prayer, and then we'll get ready for our next service. Father, thank you again for your blessings. Now lead us and bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're dismissed.